Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into the lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm here with my good friend and brother in Christ, Patrick Rice.
Hey!
What's up, Patrick? Dude, are you ready for another show today?
This is going to be fire. We've got a giant.
Oh, we've got a giant today. Today with us on the show, we have Peter Herbeck. If you've never heard of Peter, he is the missions director for Renewal Ministries, a radical, life-changing ministry that's not only impacting lives here in the United States, but all over the world. He's been actively involved in evangelization and Catholic renewal throughout the United States, through Canada, through Africa, Eastern Europe, and he's been doing this for over 30 years. So I think we're right. We've got
a giant,
right? The cool part about Peter is he was part of the early charismatic renewal in the United States. So he's witnessed and seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church here in America, and he's seen the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the world, right? And so he's got a really cool pulse on what God is doing, not just in one ministry, but what God is doing all over our world, which is pretty exciting perspective to have, right?
Yeah, it's ground zero.
Naturally, we're on Catholic radio. Peter, he's a good friend of Catholic Radio. He's hosted a number of programs on EWTN. He's had some television, some radio. So he is a laborer in the Lord's vineyard, and we're excited to hear from him. Before we get to that, we want to just talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to talk about what God is doing and what God intends to do in your life. So, Patrick, can you start us in prayer?
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. We thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon the Catholic Church, Lord, pouring out your Spirit upon the Christian churches and moving us and empowering us and bringing us together, making us one, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that today you start to renew the renewal that you've already done, Lord. We pray, we pray for a new, just a massive tsunami of your grace and your power to flood the Catholic Church, Lord, with signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord, with revival graces that are capable of launching the new evangelization to what it can be. Lord, we pray not just for a greater outpouring of touch for the new evangelization. We pray for a new Pentecost to permeate the church as all the popes have called for in this recent season, Lord. We just pray with expectant faith for what you're already doing, Lord, and we bless that in Jesus' name.
Jesus, we pray that you would pour out a portion of your Spirit upon all flesh, that those who have received the Spirit, that you would pour out more, that you would give them a deeper intoxication with the Holy Spirit, that you would allow them to experience deeper intimacy with the heart, with your heart, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would allow them to experience a deeper knowledge of the Father, a deeper understanding, a deeper courage. Lord, we pray for more, just more gifts to be poured out upon the faithful right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you are not held by time and space. And so we pray that you would pour your Spirit out over the airwaves right now, that the radio would become a channel of evangelization. The radio would be a channel of giving the Spirit to others. And so pour your Spirit upon all flesh right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Patrick. So here's the cool thing. Peter Herbeck's story, it's all about the extraordinary happening in the lives of ordinary people, right? That there's no doubt that God is alive when ordinary people experience extraordinary miracles. And Peter's kind of just been walking in the extraordinary for 30 years, which is pretty awesome. And we're excited to hear about that. But what is it, or I should say, who is it that makes the ordinary extraordinary?
Jesus.
And Jesus makes the ordinary extraordinary. And Jesus promised in the Gospels that he would make our ordinary lives extraordinary. And so he pours out the person of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. And the Spirit is working now and is alive. Brothers and sisters, we need to believe and we need to have faith that the Spirit can allow extraordinary things to happen in ordinary people's lives. Patrick, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Do you believe it?
I live it.
Oh,
I live it.
Amen. And so right now, we just want us to, I want you, if you're driving in your car, if you are doing the dishes, if you are just hanging out at home, I want you to just say, Lord, I believe that you can accomplish extraordinary things in my life.
Lord, I believe you can accomplish extraordinary things in my life.
Amen. That's called an act of faith. And so we enter in today's radio show not seeking a deeper like knowledge of things, but we're seeking a deeper outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Of wisdom and revelation.
Amen. And that act of faith is going to allow the Spirit to work right now. So I want to start with a scripture verse. It comes from Acts chapter 2. If you have a Bible, feel free to grab it and pull it out to Acts chapter 2. And this verse comes right after Pentecost, right? The apostles receive the gift of tongues, and they're out in the streets, and they're preaching the gospel in all these different languages, and all these people that are gathered are able to hear the gospel in their native tongue. And it says in Scripture, chapter 2, verse 12, it says, they were astonished and bewildered, right? The people who were seeing the Spirit alive in the apostles' lives, it says they were astounded and bewildered. And they said to one another, what does this mean? Right? They were confused and they were wondering what's happening. And then others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine.
Yeah, they did.
Patrick, has anyone ever told you you've had too much new wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great, right? I want to be accused of having too much new wine.
Jesus'
right?
first miracle was making wine for a bunch of drunk people.
We
need spiritual wine.
We need spiritual
wine.
You
got to have a new wineskin or else it's going to burst.
See, I want...
That's a word.
I want in this world, I want a Christian people who look more like drunkards on this Holy Spirit than I do a bunch of grumpy, unhappy Christians that are complaining about the state of the world.
Lord, save us from sour-faced saints.
Save us
Saint
from sour...
Saint Teresa of Avila, not me.
So let's pray that the Spirit would allow us to live lives that when people see us, they say, man, what is the cause of their joy? Like, are they drunk? And this is what Peter says. He says, then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he proclaimed to them, you who are Jews, indeed, all of you are staying in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you, and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose.
Preach right? it, Peter.
That is
yeah.
profound. Those are the first words.
Officer, we're not drunk.
Those are the first words from our Pope after Pentecost. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning.
Come on.
Now, this is what Peter says after that. He says, no, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Brothers and sisters, we are living in that time, right? That Peter, our first pope, proclaimed after Pentecost that the time of the prophet Joel, it is now the Pentecostal age, right? That we are living in the time of Pentecost. We are living in the time of the Spirit. And Joel promised us, and Peter promises us, that in the last days, that God promises he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, right? That means all people, that God wants to give his Spirit to all people. God wants the work that we see in Pentecost, the signs, the wonders that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, this revelation, these people who look like they were intoxicated because they were intoxicated by the Spirit. He wants this to be a reality in all people's lives. This isn't the joy of the Spirit is not for the Catholic charismatics, right? The Catholics and Christians are called to be charismatic. We all are because we're all called to life in the Spirit.
That's right. And if you think Dan's crazy, well, he is for the Lord. But you know, St. Ambrose of Milan, he gave a sermon on this, and he said he called this the sober intoxication of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that was normal part of the Christian life. Okay. So if you think this is weird, this is normal. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to put a lens adjustment on our glasses in Jesus' name. So we pray for lens adjustments. If you've had any fear or suspicion about things supernatural or charismatic, we just cast those off in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that Holy Spirit, you reveal the truth to them.
If you've ever said to yourself, and I've heard this a lot from Catholics, if you've ever said, you know what, I'm a traditional Catholic, I'm not a charismatic Catholic, you've placed a label on yourself that doesn't exist in Scripture.
In a box.
In a box. You've placed yourself in a box that says, I don't want the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Brothers and sisters, we are all called to be charismatic Catholics. That we means are all that, called.
It means you have spiritual gifts.
Yeah, that you are called to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to work through you. And what kind of work does the prophet Joel promise? And what kind of work does the first pope, Pope Peter, promise? He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Mm-hmm. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. He says that I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And then it says in verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Brothers and sisters, I wonder if when you've prayed with people, have you seen them saved, right? That the Lord wants to save people. He wants to save your city. He wants to save your nation through your hands. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you could save his people. So let's start saving people. Let's utilize these gifts. I want to tell a story. Can I tell a story? It's yes, amazing. So
you may.
So I think it's possible. I have to, right? Because I have
the Lord
microphone.
Loves when you ask me permission.
So we were with this. I was praying over some people just a couple days ago, and this young girl came to me, and she was just so anxious and filled with all these fears, and she
Where were you?
We were on a retreat.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And she, I asked anyone to come to pray who wanted prayer. And she comes up and she was just going off this list of all these things that she had done wrong. And she thought, she was saying like, I just don't know if God's pleased with me. And honestly, the things that she was doing that she called wrong weren't really all that wrong. She had this like spirit of anxiety upon her that was not from the Lord. And so I said, stop. What do you want to ask from Jesus? And she said, I just wish he would give me some kind of a sign to give me the next step. And so I said, well, he promises us in scripture that when we ask for a sign, that he'll give us a vision or that he'll speak into our lives. And so I said, we're going to take 1 minute in silence and we're just going to ask the Lord to speak into your life. And so we took 1 minute in silence. And at the end, I said, okay, so Sophia, did the Lord speak anything into your life? And she said, no, is that bad? I said, no, it's not bad. Can I at least share what the Lord spoke into my life? And I said, and she said, sure. So I said, you know, I had this vision of this eagle in flight. She's like, what? It's like, yeah, I had this vision of an eagle in flight. And she's like, I had a vision of an eagle in flight. I thought it was just a daydream. And I was like, no, it wasn't a daydream. And she's like, I saw this eagle in flight. And she starts describing the mountains that the eagle's flying over. And I was like, that's the exact same thing I had. And so the Lord had given us the same exact vision. And I said, well, Sophia, what does that mean in your life? And she starts interpreting the sign that the Lord had given her, right?
Wow.
That when we approach the Lord, he wants to speak into our lives, and he's still giving dreams and visions and prophecies. Patrick, can you help people understand? How can they receive like a word from the Lord or a vision from the Lord?
Yeah, God loves to speak to us. I mean, when we're baptized, Dan, we're baptized into the three offices of Christ. We're baptized priest, prophet, and king, right? Mm-hmm. And let me ask you a question, Dan. What do prophets do?
They prophesy.
That's right. So basically, whenever we hear truth from God and we speak it out, we're prophets. We prophesy. So even if it's just speaking the Apostles' Creed, I'm prophesying, right? The truth, okay? Mm. Whenever my kids are like, Daddy, everything's so bad, I say, it's going to get better, okay?
It's going to get better.
I'm prophesying to them that good things are going to come. I'm prophesying hope to them. Mm. So there's natural modes of prophecy, right? Whenever we speak the truth that God reveals to us, but also there's supernatural modes of prophecy. What you experienced, Dan, with that girl was a supernatural mode of prophecy where God revealed to you revelation that he was also revealing to this girl to demonstrate that he's speaking with one voice, because there's only one Holy Spirit, Dan.
Yep.
Amen.
One.
So, like, basically, this gift is active. St. Paul said all can prophesy, right? So the gift of prophecy is where I hear from God for another person, and I want to bless them and build them up.
Yeah.
And because I don't have an agenda. I only want to tell them what God wants them to hear. So basically, because we're prophets, we can all hear from God. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
So we could declare that in Jesus' name. I'm a prophet.
I'm a prophet. And
I hear from God.
I hear from God.
That's right. So it's really as simple as asking him questions and expecting answers and not having any expectations. So, you know, Dan, I know we do this a lot together. You're like, God, what do you want to tell this girl. And like, you receive that. And so there's kind of three parts. There's the revelation, what, you know, the actual substance, and that can be received like in our imagination. God will speak to us in our imagination. It wasn't anything crazy.
Well, like, and that was, God was speaking to that girl in her imagination, and she thought it was a daydream. And
right.
I think a lot of times we do that. Like, we're like, oh no, God,
we limit
this,
God.
He can't give me like a son. Like, it's not an eagle, right? Like,
right. No, God speaks to us through us. So our imagination, Paul talked about the voice of our hearts in Ephesians 1. I pray the voice of your heart would be enlightened, right?
Yep.
So like that still small voice in your heart, even the voice in our mind, Aquinas called it the vox mentis, the voice of the mind, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Even our feelings, like I can come into a place and I can feel like weird anxiety or fear. And usually the Lord's telling me, there's like this person in front of you has anxiety or fear, and I want you to minister to them. Or even, this is crazy, but I love it. I'll feel strange, unordinary pain in my body. And the Lord started telling me that means that you're, you know, there's pain that I actually want to heal. Because actually God gives gifts of healing. And Jesus, he healed everyone that came in contact with. And he promised, if you believe in me, you'll do the works that I do. And
you'll do greater works than these.
So I expect to do the works of Jesus when I go out. I expect to see people healed. You know, these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. So we go for it. And guess what? You might get it wrong sometimes. You might not get the revelation right. There's revelation, what God is releasing to you in your voice of your mind and your imagination, that feeling. And then there's the interpretation. What does this mean? What does this mean for that person? And then the application. What am I supposed to do about it? Right. Mm. And so like you had all those points. You got the revelation, and then she got the interpretation. And then hopefully, God willing, she got the application, what that means. They're all important.
It was major breakthrough for her.
Yes.
It was like a weight was lifted off her shoulders.
That's like a teaching on we're prophets, how we prophesy. These are things we all do. You've had experiences of getting words for people, and they can be pretty amazing. Jesus walked in this. I mean, my favorite story is the woman at the well. She's, you know, Jesus is you know, says, go call your husband. And at this point in the conversation, as you know, she's just talking about, you know, her life and how she doesn't understand the Jews and all this. And then Jesus says, call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus is like, you've had five husbands. And she's like, whoa, you're a prophet.
Yep.
Right? And then, you know, she goes and tells everyone, come and find the woman, meet the man that told me everything about my life. That prophetic word of knowledge that Jesus was walking in is a tool of evangelization.
So I think a lot of times God can start speaking into our life and we don't take action with it. So like if you've got a loved one and maybe a family member who you are really concerned about and you're praying for, I want to challenge you to, instead of just praying for them, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to speak to this person? What word can I give them? And the Lord will actually start revealing to you words for you to be a conduit of his voice, right? Because if like you have a loved one who left the church, they may not be hearing God's voice in their life. And so you as a prophet, you're called to speak the word of God in their life. So ask God, what do you want me to say? Or someone who's ill and sick or going through a difficulty, just to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? You don't have to worry about coming up with the words on your own. Ask the Lord to give you the words.
And you're not a new prophet. It's Jesus within you who is the prophet, right? So we all have, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, okay?
Yeah.
And Jesus, he desperately wants to use you. He always chooses human agency to bring into the world. You can pray till you're dry in the face for God to move, but he wants to move through you at the end of the day. And we need the Holy Spirit to release that.
Isn't that beautiful? Remember Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to have that kind of faith that when we call upon the name of the Lord, he will speak to us and he will allow us to help him save his people, right? That we want to be a part of his work. So if you, and I think a lot of people, a lot of sincere Catholics often have a heart of mercy and a heart of compassion towards others. I want us to start asking the Lord to turn that heart of compassion and that heart of mercy into a heart of mission, that we wouldn't just feel the people's sorrow, but then that we would start speaking more life into their hearts, right? Into their life. And so let's just pray for that. Lord, we pray that if any of us have been blessed with a heart of mercy and compassion, that you would give us a heart of mission, that we would come before you and that we would ask you to speak to us and that we would hear your voice and we would with boldness share that word with others, that we wouldn't be afraid that the thoughts, the promptings that come into our mind or our hearts are of our own making, but that they're from you, and that we would share those with people who come into our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. Right when we come back from a break, we're going to hear from a giant of a minister of the Lord, Peter Herbeck. So we can't wait to come back. Welcome back to Encounter. Today we have with us Peter Herbeck. And you know what's amazing is Peter has done a lot of incredible things throughout the church. He's seen amazing work of the Holy Spirit. But today we're not talking so much about what Peter has done, but more so what God has done in Peter's life. And that's the important thing, right? It's not about what we do for the kingdom. It's about what the Spirit does in our lives and how he enables us to usher in the kingdom of God. So we're so blessed to have Peter Herbeck with us today, the director of missions from Renewal Ministries. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, brother. It's great to be here.
Yeah, man. So I'm so excited to hear your story. You know, our show Encounter is all about telling the stories of ordinary people and how they're launched into lives of extraordinary mission. And your story is really a story of the ordinary becoming extraordinary through a series of encounters with the power of God. So would you mind sharing with us and our listeners how you encountered the living God as a young boy?
No, I'd be glad to do that. First, I want to say thank you for the work you guys are doing. I think it's really, really important.
Hey, no problem.
Talking about this stuff, and may the Lord bless you and anoint you as you keep going and live boldly the great adventure. So,
amen. Amen to that. We'll take that.
Yeah.
I received that.
Well, I grew up in a small town in southern Minnesota. I was the second youngest of seven kids, and we lived a block from the Cathedral Parish in the Catholic schools. And we were sort of a typical Catholic family. As siblings, we went to church every Sunday with our parents, but we never really talked about the faith at home. We occasionally prayed the rosary during Lent and stuff like that. My older siblings, it was the 70s, so as they left the house, some of them were starting to drift away from the church. I, as a teenager, was starting to do that myself. And then my family, on one level, looked like we sort of had our act together. We had a lot of talented athletes and good students and stuff in the family. But inside our house, we had a big challenge, a big dysfunction. My father had been a tank commander in Patton's Third Army in the Battle of the Bulge, and he could speak fluent German. He was in recon, and he was at the liberation of Mauthausen concentration camp and all that sort of thing. So
wow.
He was in the war for 2 years over there, deep into it, and he came back, and what we'd say today is he had some dimension of PTSD, but in those days they didn't talk about it. You know, so part of how he dealt with the stuff he carried is he drank. I mean, he was a successful guy and sort of kept all the balls in the air, but this is something that was always a part of our life. And I was the youngest boy, and I was really concerned as junior in high school, concerned that what's life going to be like around the house when I'm gone, because dad would drink once a week, sometimes twice a week. And what he did, he was very unhappy physically, would never hurt anybody, but he just had all that pain in him, and he didn't know how to deal with it, And so anyway, make a very long story short, he had gone to treatment a number of times, nothing ever worked. And my oldest sister, Kathy, as part of a little Bible study prayer group up north about 2 hours from where we lived in a little farming community in northern Minnesota. And she called home and said, "Hey, I'm coming home this weekend. I'm bringing the family. I got to talk to you guys. Get as many of the sibs there because I really got to tell you something important." So she comes down with her family on a Saturday night. Some of us were there. Some of my brothers were living in different parts of the country, couldn't come. So we're sitting at our kitchen table, and this moment was the most transformational moment in the history of our family.
Hmm.
My sister said, "Look, I belong to this little prayer group, and every Wednesday we meet, and then we pray at the end for people's needs. And we've been praying for Dad for the last 6 months. And this past Wednesday, after we were done, I was walking to the car, and one of the local farmer, just a good guy, came up to her and said, 'Kathy, I got to tell you something. I mean, this has never happened to me before, but when we were praying for your dad, I felt like Jesus really said to me to come and tell you that he's heard your prayers, he wants your siblings to come back to the faith, and he's going to bring healing and transformation to your father and to your family.
Amen.
Now, that's rural prophecy.
Nobody in my family ever talked like that. We never had conversations like that.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And then she said, then I'm going to the car, and I'm about to get in the car, and another guy comes up to me and says, Kathy, excuse me, and said essentially the same thing.
Wow.
So she's looking at us across the table, looking at me, a 16-year-old, you know, junior in high school or whatever, and she said, listen, you guys, Jesus Christ is alive, and Jesus Christ wants to hear our prayers, and if we give our hearts to him, he's going to heal Dad, and he's going to break this bondage in our family. Mm. And she was just preaching, her eyes were on fire.
Yeah.
And I my jaw must have dropped, you know, 2 feet, because I literally never heard any Catholic talk like that, you know, at that point in my life. And she said, look, the key is you have to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. And some of us, I know, have not. And she looked right at me, you know.
Wow. So, you got called out.
So that night I'm laying in bed. Nothing more I wanted, brothers, than to have my dad be healed. I love my father, and he was a good man. But I laid in bed, I thought, is this real? You know, is this my sister just wishful thinking? You know, and I said, God, if this is real, you know, I give my heart to you. And I got out of my bed and I knelt next to my bed for the first time since elementary school. And I said, God, please help. You know, about 2 weeks later on a Monday night, my dad always drank on Mondays, seemed like. He came in about 10:30 and I was sitting doing homework at the dining room. My mom and my little sister were in bed already. And I was waiting up for him. And he came and he sat down next to me. And I didn't want to look at him because we'd probably engage in an argument at that moment. So, but I could hear him breathing and smell the booze on him, and he said, hey, Peter. And I didn't look up at him, you know. And then he reached down. He's a big man, a physical guy. He reached down and grabbed my arm, and he squeezed it, and I could feel him shaking.
Hmm.
And he said, son, please look at me. And I looked up at him, and he began to cry. And I never saw my father shed a tear my entire life until that moment. And he said, son, I'm a sick man, and I need help. Please help me.
Amen.
And what came out of my mouth was like, it's like I was watching myself, you know, from the outside. Dad, God's going to help us, I said, you know. And he got up and walked into his office in the next room and picked up the phone about 11:45, it was actually, and he called Doc Ringhofer, our family physician. He said, Doc, this is Joe Herbeck. I'm a very sick man. Please help me. He went into treatment the next day. 4 weeks later, he came out. We went once a week to be with him, and he stood up that last day, and he said, my name is Joe Herbeck. I'm an alcoholic. I cannot live without Jesus Christ at the center of my life.
Wow.
Amen. Come on.
That was 1977. Dad lived 20 years of sobriety. All seven kids came back to the Lord within the two- or three-year period of time there, and our family events got totally transformed. We still had great Thanksgiving turkey and watch ball games, but we started sharing our faith. We'd talk late into the night. We'd pray over each other. All the grandkids started gathering just spontaneously, the older ones, and they came in a circle. We started praying with them, and
nice.
They got turned on to the faith. So when Dad died, I mean, it was just it was amazing 20 years. And so that really got my attention.
You know, I'm thinking, Peter, is if those two gentlemen who came up to your sister, if they would have been afraid to share what the Lord had placed on their heart and they kept that to themselves— and had doubt and uncertainty, that breakthrough may have never have happened for your family. And all of the work you've done for the Lord and your family's done for the Lord, all of the fruit that's come from that, if they would have said no to the word that the Lord gave to them, what would have happened?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what would have happened? I've been so grateful for those guys who I've never had a chance to meet, but the words of Pope Francis kind of echo in my mind when he's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this generation. He said, your movement is a birth, was willed by the Holy Spirit so that you could be a current of grace for the church and to go beyond the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that current of grace is literally like, it's like the Spirit of God touched those men as this little community of folks out. You talk about ordinary, you're talking the definition of ordinary, you know, out there in the country, and they're praying and their hearts are turned to God, and the living Jesus Christ speaks to these men, and a current of grace gets released.
Mm-hmm.
In the prophetic word, it goes to my sister's heart. My sister in faith brings it home and speaks it at the dining room table. And I'm telling you, that was life-changing. And that's why the gifts are so important. You know, it's interesting. Pope Paul VI said, you know, we quoting Scripture, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good to all of us. Everybody baptized has different spiritual gifts given to us by God. But he said for many Catholics, those gifts lie dormant our whole life long, undiscovered, untapped.
Yep.
And so that's the kind of thing that's happening, and you guys are preaching and teaching so well about. So my heart got set on fire, and a few months later, maybe it was almost a whole year later, I ended up going, one of my sisters, my older sisters ended up kind of discipling me a little bit. It was kind of interesting, but one of them invited me to go to a conference at the University of Notre Dame, a big Catholic Charismatic conference in 1978. The theme was "You Shall Be My Witnesses," about 30,000 people. And I went, and I had not yet been baptized in the Spirit, kind of fully released, but I was starting to read the Bible, and I was starting to move in that direction. So I go to this thing, and it was very clear to me when I was there that those folks had something that I didn't have yet. You know, they were very alive in the Lord. I heard incredible preaching of priests and lay people and signs and wonders happening right there. There were about five bishops at this thing, about 250 priests, and 30,000 people. And all weekend, you guys, I was praying. I said, "Lord, you know, I don't have yet what these people have, and I also know that I don't have the strength to be the person I want to be, you know? Please help me." And I was praying through all Friday night and all day Saturday, and the guy I was rooming with that night, I kept him up late, and I said, "Ron, I just don't want to leave this place where I came, because I don't have the strength to live the kind of life I hear around me here, you know?" And he goes, I'll never forget, really pastoral. He's laying down in his bunk, and he says, "Hey, go to bed. Don't worry." He said, "Nobody comes to one of these things with a heart wide open that doesn't get blasted. So shut up and go to bed."
Yeah, I love that. Get blasted.
Anyway, so the next morning, I'm at the closing mass, and my heartfelt prayer is, "Jesus, give me the love and the grace to sell out for you." You know, like I see in these kind of people. It was the first place I heard Ralph Martin speak, and his words went right through my heart. Well, I come back from communion, and I'm standing there, just my eyes closed, and somebody taps me on the shoulder, and I look, and this guy I never met before, his name tag's from Indianapolis, Indiana, and he looks at my name tag, and he said, "Peter, do you mind if I share something with you?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "I'm back here about six rows getting ready to go to communion, and son, I was just looking, and my eyes fell on you, and as soon as I saw you, the Holy Spirit told me to come and tell you, he said, son, the faith and love that you seek right now is going to be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you." And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit, I just got baptized in the Spirit. What is that? I mean, just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just from my head, top of my head to the bottom of my feet, just a current of God's love, an experience of his love and presence. And I grabbed this guy, a total stranger, and I'm just weeping on his shoulder, you know, snotting all over the guy's shoulder. And he just taps me on the back, and he's holding me, said, "Son, just let it come." He said, "This is God. This is the love of God, and he knows you, and he knows you by name." And
wow,
that was really, really life-changing for me. And it was like, you know, the old story where a boat's, you know, on a river, and it goes into a lock at one level, and then it gets lifted way up and comes at another one. That's what it felt like that weekend. I came in at one level, and because of the great preaching, sacraments, witness, testimony, and the baptism of the Spirit, I just got lifted up to a whole other level, and it's never changed.
Wow, Peter, can you share that word again? What word did he give you?
He said, "Son, the faith and love that you seek right here, right now, today, shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you."
And I think that can be a word for anyone in our audience who needs to hear that as well. That's a powerful word that the Lord, he promises to fulfill everything he's promised to you.
Yeah. And, you know, just going back to what you were underlining earlier, here's a guy, ordinary guy who I never met. What would have happened if he wouldn't have followed that prompting?
Yeah.
You know, the impulse of the Spirit that was moving his heart. He never, didn't know me from Adam. And this is what the Holy Spirit can do if our hearts are open and we're in these contexts of faith where we're receiving the presence of the Lord. He just saw me in a split second. The Lord just moved his heart and put a word on his heart, and it was totally life-changing because it's a word from the Lord. You know, so good.
So good. So how'd your life change after that?
Well, there's a lot that happened after that, but I'd say clearly the thing, you know, one of the things Pope John Paul II said, when the Spirit is given in the New Testament and Scripture, one of the fundamental things it does is to create movement. The Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to us and then get us moving. And I'd say that's what happened in my life. I just felt I was a different guy when I came back from there on the level of wanting to share Christ with other people. So there was a missionary connection right to, it's ironic, the theme of that whole conference is "You Shall Be My Witnesses," and boy, it really did launch me into that. But I think one of the biggest things, eventually, I started following Ralph Martin's teaching. I was back and ended up going to college and didn't know him and devoured the stuff, but the Lord eventually brought me here to Ann Arbor, where I live now, to work with the university organization called University Christian Outreach back in the 80s. And I'd see Ralph on occasion, you know, because we go to the same parish and stuff. And he called me one day and said, "Hey, Pete, I'm going over to a conference in Southfield to hear a speaker from a megachurch in Atlanta. Would you be willing to join me just for that talk?" And I said, "Sure, it'd be great. You know, why not?" So we go over to this meeting. There's about 1,500 people there, leaders from all around the country, apparently. And it was mostly, you know, Protestants, Pentecostals, and people like that. Nobody there knew us, maybe one person, I think, maybe, that I remember. And we're sitting way in the back. We heard this speaker, and we're getting ready to leave. And the MC gets up, because right before lunch, and he makes his announcements before lunch, before he excuses everybody. And he says, "Our leadership team up here," which kind of had a team of about a half a dozen national leaders, "have been, you know, always praying for the group and praying for the crowd. And a number of them feel like we're supposed to be praying for two men who are here today." And they ended up pointing us out. It took a while to get our attention, because we weren't even registered for the conference. You know, we just came for the speaker.
Wow!
And they said, "Would you be willing to let us pray with you?" And we said, "Sure." So he excuses everybody. We all go up there, or the two of us go up there, and they gather around, and they were praying over us, and they gave a prophetic word to Ralph and said some things to him that I thought, "Wow, that's, I don't know how these people know some of this stuff, but they're really tying into some things in his life." And then they prayed over me, and they said, one person said, "The Lord, get ready, the Lord's going to start sowing you into lands all around the world. And he's going to open doors that he's already prepared to open, and he wants you to go through them. And what you're going to be doing," they didn't know we were Catholics, you know, and they said, "That church you belong to, some amazing evangelization is going to happen in that church you belong to."
Wow, yes.
Yeah, so then another person got up and said they had a vision of battleships all lined up in a harbor fully equipped for battle. And they said these ships represent people who God has already called and anointed to join you, and you're supposed to be like an intercoastal waterway to launch these people, priests, and they didn't know this, but eventually became priests and lay leaders and all kinds of people into countries all around the world to promote the grace of the new Pentecost, the new evangelization, the core gospel, basic discipleship, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we drove home. I mean, clearly, when they were speaking, I felt the presence and power of God, no question. And we're driving home. I said, "Ralph, well, what do we do with this?" And he says, "Well, Scripture's clear. Do not despise prophecy, but test everything and cling to what is good." And I said, "All right, so what is that going to look like for us?" So we decided to get together one morning a week on Wednesday morning, and he invited Sister Ann Shields to join us. And we would take about an hour early Wednesday morning, and on Wednesday, just to try to listen to the Lord and say, "Lord, is this you?" And so we take a little prayer time, read some scripture, and then have an extended period of quiet, listen. Well, week after week, I'd say, "You know, anybody hearing anything?" We'd say, no, not hearing anything, and we just kept persisting. And then, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of months, at the end of one of those mornings, I said, does anybody have a sense about this from the Lord?" And so it was 1989, right in there, right after the wall went down in Eastern Europe, and Sister Ann said, "Yeah." She goes, I hear the Lord saying you're supposed to go to Lithuania and Ukraine."
Wow.
I said, okay. And I said, "Ralph, do you know anybody there?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Do you, Sister Ann?" She goes, "No." She goes, "I'm not even sure where it is. I know it's over there in the Soviet Union somewhere, you know." I said, "Okay, so what do we do with this?" And he said, "Don't despise prophecy, but test everything and cling to what is good." So we continued. 2 weeks later, Ralph gets a call from a bishop in Lithuania who had been in the Gulag for 7 years. He was a Jesuit Monsignor who had run an underground Catholic newspaper during communist time, and he was turned in by a KGB priest collaborator.
No!
And so he was in the Gulag for 7 years. I think it might have been nine, but at least seven. And when the wall went down, he got released, came back, and shortly after he came back to Lithuania, the Holy Father John Paul II made him the Bishop of Kaunas, the cultural center of the country. And he gathered his priests together for the first time in 51 years. They were all able to be together without the KGB monitoring it and basically trying to control it. And he said, "Brothers," you know, covered a bunch of business. He said, "Brothers, it's time for us to re-evangelize our people." And the number of the priests looked at him and said, "Your Grace, we don't know how to do what you're asking us to do." They were allowed for all their priesthood to baptize, marry, and bury inside the church. And that was basically it for many of them. And they had not read the council documents. They read nothing from John Paul II. And they just were not tooled for it. So he began to pray and ask for help. And a couple of young Lithuanians had visited Franciscan University a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And a lawyer from Ann Arbor who got baptized in the Spirit here while he was in law school a Lithuanian was going there and traveling, and the bishop's asking around, said, I need help. Who can give me help? And these people end up giving him Ralph Martin and Father Michael Scanlon's name. And he called Ralph and said, can you come? And I was there 6 months later, organizing three large rallies in three different dioceses in the country. And that was the first place we went. And the Spirit of God fell on that place, and as a response to what had happened at the rally we were at, I mean, we had, I remember, of halfway through the day, the place was packed. He was trying to reach people who had compromised with the communists and who were baptized, and they were kind of alienated. They wouldn't come back to the church because they were ashamed, kind of. And we filled a hockey arena. I said, let's do something in a hockey arena, Bishop. Mm-hmm. And so we did, and 4,000 people packed in this dingy old hockey arena. And he just had one day, who is Jesus Christ? And beginning of the day, the place looked like Mount Rushmore, you guys. There was like
no effect whatsoever
on anybody.
Peter, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back right after the break. So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We're going to be right back to hear more amazing, life-changing stories. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Dan Dimite, and I'm here with Patrick Rice and Peter Herbeck. And Peter is sharing with us just the amazing work that God has done in his ministry. And Peter, right before we went to break, you were sharing about this incredible conference and how the Lord just poured his spirit upon the people. Could you share more about that?
Yeah, we were in Kaunas, Lithuania, the cultural center of the country. And the bishop had said he was trying to reach people that were kind of distant from the church and had compromised a bit with the communists, some of them. But anyway, just trying to bring them into the church. So we set up this event. It turned out to be on Pentecost. And
of course.
I asked, I said, Bishop, what we're going to do is preach Jesus and give testimony and invite people to respond. We had 35 people came from us from the United States on their own nickel to be on prayer teams. We matched them up with Lithuanians who could speak English. And halfway through the afternoon, I stood up and I said, if there's anybody here today, you've heard something, you've heard the message of Jesus, and you want to draw nearer to him, or maybe you want to come back to the faith, or whatever situation you're in, I invite you to come forward. Now, up to that point, the place, as I mentioned earlier, was just, you don't remember, guys, you're probably too young, but Eastern Europe, when we first went there, there's just a lot of people always guarded what they thought internally because of the cost if it got exposed externally, so there was no affect, and it was hard to read if people were really tracking with us, And so I stood up there, and I said, if anybody was in that place or their heart was ready to come forward, and we'd like to pray with them. So I gave the invitation. And nobody moved, it seemed like an eternity, but it was probably just like 2 minutes, I don't know. And after a couple of minutes, this little babushka grandma in the front row gets up, and she starts shuffling forward, then another, and literally, within 5 minutes, almost the entire arena came forward.
Wow.
And we had to change what we did. We prayed for 5 straight hours nonstop.
Awesome.
I mean, it was unreal. And I'm standing up there a couple hours into it, and all of a sudden I hear this noise and shout down to my left, and people are dancing for joy. And it turns out there was a 23, 24-year-old guy who had his right eardrum blown out at the war in Vilnius. He was standing next to a tank when a cannon went off on the tank and blew out his right eardrum. And an architect from Ann Arbor who came on his own nickel prayed over him with the interpreter, and the Lord restored his hearing.
Amen. Creative miracles.
Awesome.
And the place just buzzed. People knew him, so we shared the story. And I looked down, and the bishop was sitting in the front row with another bishop from Poland. And I grabbed my interpreter, and I went down. I said, brothers, today's Pentecost. You're the apostles. Here's the 5,000. I said, would you join us in prayer? And the bishop said, may I? He said, oh, absolutely, Bishop. And I'm thinking, why didn't I ask him in the first place? But anyway, so he's standing in front of the stage, this hero of the faith, and a line formed from him all the way to the back wall of the arena and along the wall and out the door. And one person after another, mostly the older folks, one person after another came and just laid their head on his shoulder, and they would weep and weep. And the suffering that these people had endured under communism was just crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's where it all came from. By the end of the night, I'm standing there on the stage, And people are kneeling all over the place. People, some have their hands in the air. People are crying. People are laughing in the Holy Spirit. It's like a bomb went off in the place, you know? From that, we invited people who wanted follow-up. We had trained local folks to be able to help them, those who were interested. And between the three rallies, we had 5,000 people asked for follow-up. And so the bishop said, hey, I have buildings. I have no money. I have no resources. So we raised money here. And we paid these Lithuanian young people we had discipled, that had been discipled, and we worked with ourselves when we got there. And he established the first office for Catholic evangelization in the history of the country. And so they began to do conferences all over the country and retreats and small groups and missions and all that sort of thing. And we've been going back there every year since.
So what year was that?
That was not when we actually launched that. It was 1992, I believe.
Okay, wow. So what has the Lord done in the ministry in the last 20 years?
Well, He's taken, that was Eastern Europe where we started, and it spread across Eastern Europe. And I don't know how many countries there. Maybe 10. We've probably worked in about 50 countries over the last 20 years or 25 years or whatever it is. Working with bishops, priests, lay people on the ground in these countries, promoting the new evangelization, and really getting clergy and lay leaders baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's really a current. I mean, thinking of Pope Francis, he said, "I expect you to share with everyone in the church the grace of being baptized in the Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. And that's what he said. Everybody involved in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And that's really what we've been doing for a long time. And it was interesting how we ended up. I got to tell this quick story. How we got to Kazakhstan. We were in Slovakia doing a mission, and at the end of this mission, the nun who had been became a nun in the underground, her parents didn't even know she was a nun until the wall went down, she organized this thing, was taking me to the airport and said, hey, there's 10 more things we want you guys to do for us. And the 10th one was, we have a house of sisters in Kazakhstan, who can speak English, who are having young Muslims coming to them and asking them, who is Jesus?
Yes.
And could you go help them? Again, make a long story short, I got home, I shared with Ralph the list of 10 things, and I told him I felt like the one in Kazakhstan was the most important. He said, well, who do you think we ought to get to do it? And I said, Dr. Peter Williamson, a mutual friend who was teaching at the seminary, a guy, really dynamic brother. And so I called him immediately, and I said, hey, Peter, I got to talk to you. I got to ask you a favor. And he said, hey, before you do, I want to tell you something. He said, I just got home yesterday. I completed my doctorate, but I had a few days, and after I was finished, one of my classmates is a priest who's actually from Kazakhstan. I'm thinking, okay. And he goes, he's being sent back to Kazakhstan to become the first rector of the first Catholic seminary in the history of the country.
Mainly
a Muslim country. And he said, and he introduced me to the first bishop, a guy who was just ordained to be the first bishop in the history of the country. And he said, I spent the afternoon with him, and I told him about Renewal Ministries, Pete, and they said, we really need to come there and help them with all the missionary priests and all the work that they're doing there. I said, Pete, are you standing up? Are you sitting down? Why? I said, because literally I'm calling you to ask you if you'd be willing to go to Kazakhstan.
Confirm that one.
Wow.
I
mean, that's just how God sort of done
that's
it over
powerful.
The years. And going back to that initial experience we had where the Lord said, I'm going to open doors. Don't you try to knock doors down. I will open doors, and it's happened. We've probably done between 350 and 400 missions, I would think, in the last 20 years.
Wow!
We didn't initiate any of those.
Yep.
All of them were bishops or lay leaders or priests. Somebody contacting us and saying, "Could you come? We really need this." We end up doing you guys a lot of work, both with. Just forming priests and bishops and other people in the basics of the new evangelization. But we also pray specifically for baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we also pray unbound with them all.
Yeah, helping,
because,
healing.
A lot of the guys are beat up in difficult situations, and so that's the heart of what we've been doing. And we've been trying just step by step to follow, and the Lord's provided all we've needed all along the way. So He's faithful, what we're a part of, what you're a part of, what the Lord is doing at this moment in the history of the church. It's just like Acts 2. That's why Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI called the grace of a new Pentecost. He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh.
Peter, I know
all the baptized.
One of the things that you do is you equipped men and women from this country to go and be missionaries on these missions, correct?
Yeah. Yes, we have. Yep.
If someone's heart's being impacted right now. How could they find out more information about that to like become a missionary to join you on mission?
Well, all they have to do is go to our website at renewalministries.net and click on the missions icon there and follow that. It'll give simple instruction. You basically contact my assistant, Kathleen Kittle, and we'd be happy to answer any questions. There's forms you can fill out to be a part of the team, but we'd talk with you, interview you, that kind of thing.
Amen.
We'd love to hear your story.
Cool. You know, one of the things I value so much about your ministry, Peter, is the how rooted you are in the doctrine of the church. And so I think there's a lot of people who are afraid that if they identify with the charismatic renewal or if they identify with the Holy Spirit, that somehow we're outside of the church. And what didn't you just release a newer book about rooting the renewal in the church teachings?
Yeah, I wrote a book called When the Spirit Comes in Power. I was really deeply influenced by Pope John Paul II, who understood the work of the Spirit so clearly and the grace that the Lord was showing through the movements of the church, you know, not just the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, but so many of them that were apostolic, that were really engaging mission and evangelization. And so what I did was I decided, I had friends of mine who were priests in mind when I wrote the book, but it's not a complicated book, but I wanted to take the teaching of the recent popes, and then I wanted to take the scripture and the traditional understanding of the outpouring of the Spirit and what Pentecost is all about and what it means really to be a Christian, to be empowered by the Spirit, and to fundamentally be missionary, because the Spirit's been given for mission. And then what I did was I blended that teaching together with a lot of stories as well.
Awesome.
Where
awesome.
I see it happening, you know, well, where I saw it happening domestically and in different countries, and how it kind of unfolded for us. Because I want ordinary Catholics, priests, to see it as a possibility.
Praise
that
the Lord.
Not only for their life, but for their people's lives.
Yep,
that's
that
awesome.
Sitting right in front of them, in the hearts of these brothers and sisters who've been baptized into Christ, is the antidote for the times we're living in.
So here's the deal, Peter. We're going to pray. And if you're interested in that book, When the Spirit Comes in Power, I want you to read that and learn more about this movement. But Peter, we want to ask you to pray over our audience. We have 2 minutes, and Patrick's going to close us in prayer.
Okay, great. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are present, and we welcome you, and we acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of our lives. And Lord, it's you who poured out the Holy Spirit for the salvation of the world and to empower your people to be really moving in mission. And today we agree together. We pray for all the men and women who are listening today. I know some in particular as I'm praying that some are really being moved. That's the Holy Spirit, friend, that's moving in you. And we just pray together for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life and the life of every person listening, and that the graces of your baptism and confirmation could be stirred and fanned into flame, so you would have the burning love of Jesus, the confidence, the freedom, and the courage to take up the place he has personally called you to take up. Pope Francis said to each one of us, we can say, it ought to say, I am a mission. I was branded and sealed for this mission by the Holy Spirit. It's not special people. It's all of us who've been baptized into Christ. So say yes to it today, friend. If you need any help in that, you can contact us at Renewal Ministries, or I'm sure Dan and Pat in their ministry. But don't delay. Follow the prompting of the Spirit.
And we also want to pray. I've just got this strong sense that the Lord wants to heal shoulders and minds with migraine and dizziness. So if you have shoulder pain, I want you just to lay a hand on your shoulder. And we just pray in Jesus' name, shoulder be healed right now.
Holy Spirit.
And if you have any migraine or dizziness or confusion that happens in your mind, we pray brains be healed in Jesus Christ. All migraines, we bind you. We pray for peace to be over your head in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Patrick and I, we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today and all days. To learn more about us or the show or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit EncounterRadio.org. That's EncounterRadio.org.